Episode 91. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kentrell. City of origin is Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. I'm glad you're here. This is BulaNetwork.com, and this is episode 91. I'll think of a clever title somewhere along the way here. I can tell you what the subject is. We could talk about, well, we could label it emotions. We could label it headroom. You know what headroom is? I was a teenager selling hi-fi equipment back in the day. And when it comes to things like amplifiers, stereo receivers, well, these amplifiers have what we commonly called back in the day, and I suppose it's still called that, headroom. Headroom. So if you had an amplifier, let's say, that was rated at 100 watts per channel into two-channel stereo, this is back before surround sound. Well, that amplifier, if it was a really high-quality amplifier, it would have a significant amount of headroom. That is, it could produce peaks that would be well over 100 watts. Now, it wouldn't be able to sustain that, but you'd get a little bit of headroom. Think of it this way. Here in Texas, of course, everybody knows that we ride horses, but when we're not riding horses, we drive pickup trucks. And, of course, we all wear cowboy hats. No, we don't. You know, and we all go outside and rope dogies, you know. I spent a significant portion of my life in Louisiana, in southern Louisiana especially. And, of course, everybody just thought, well, you know, there's just alligators just, you know, crossing the road everywhere. Not necessarily. But if you are in Texas and you do have a pickup truck, you very likely are liable to have a cowboy hat. And if the headroom inside the cab of this pickup is significant enough, well, you just might have enough space to wear your cowboy hat inside the cab. So we understand what it means when we get into our cars. We have headroom. That's the distance between the top of our head and the roof of the car. And we kind of want headroom. Otherwise, we kind of have to crouch down and duck. Well, I think we can have headroom when it comes to things like, emotions. Now, this isn't going to be a real touchy-feely sort of a show, but I'm very persuaded about something. Well, actually, I'm persuaded about a lot of things, but one of the things that I'm really persuaded about, for whatever reason, over the course of the last 2 years, is the way we look at things, our frame of mind. I'm calling it emotion because I can't think of a better synonym, quite frankly. If I could, I would give it to you. I call it emotion because how we feel about things, how we view things impacts how we feel about things, and how we feel about things, well, doesn't that just impact everything? Sure it does. You ever had one of those days where you just, for whatever reason, you didn't want to get out of bed? And it just, maybe you couldn't even put your finger on it. Have you ever had moments where, for whatever reason, you just felt a little bit anxious? No particular reason. You just, and I'm not talking about a full-blown anxiety attack. Just, there was just something that was just kind of gnawing at you, and you felt a little, you know, you were just kind of skittish, and you just had a little bit of anxiety for some reason. And you've had other days where we ascribe a color to it, blue. You're just kind of blue. You're just, I don't know, you're not just in a debilitating funk, but you're just kind of blue. You're just kind of down. You're just kind of a little bit depressed, and no particular reason. You just get up one day and it's just kind of how you feel. Well, we all have these and many, 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 many other feelings and emotions. And guess what happens? These things play a huge role in helping us. They play a huge role in hindering us. And whether they help or whether they hinder is, well, that is just largely up to us. It's just up to us. I've said it before, because I'm real fond of it. It's one of the, aside from being a man who is just a man in search of an epiphany, I'm also a man given to trite, well, to say trite cliche, isn't that a redundant explanation? If it's trite, it's a cliche, isn't it? But I've got some, and I'm pretty fond of them, and I use them. And admittedly, I may overuse them, but build a bridge and get over it is a famous one. Well, okay. Okay, it's not famous. I mean, if I'm not famous, how can that be famous? Well, I didn't come up with it. It is not original. There are some people who would think that I'm the one that originated it because they hear me say it so often. And I think I've even told you before. I know I've told you this at some point, that I had a hockey player back when I was coaching a college team and wrote it on his hockey gloves. That's how often I said it. Build a bridge and get over it. Well, sometimes the problem that we have when it comes to emotions, when it comes to our feelings, when it comes to this headroom, and when I use headroom, I mean it quite literally. It's our mind. It's what we think of. I mean, so frequently I find myself, and maybe you do too, I find myself just, I need some space in my head. Does that make sense? No, don't. I can hear the laughter. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I hear laughter all over the planet. People laughing at me, saying, well, you got plenty of space in your head, dude. Here's what I mean by that. I mean, well, yeah, I could kind of mean some space in your head as far as all the information. Man alive, aren't we all just absolutely swimming in a sea of information that, for the most part, is just utterly useless? I know I'm not the only guy feeling that way. It's one blog after. And I'm not saying there's not some terrific stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's some great stuff. And I love reading good blog posts. But come on. Can't most of us admit that a large portion of what we consume every day, whether it's news or whether it's blogs or whether it's videos or whether it's podcasts, that, okay. I mean, how significant to our lives is a lot of this stuff? Come on, it's just, we like it now. I think there's value in that. I think there's value in being entertained. I think there's value in saying, you know, that's interesting. But you and I both know we could go on a data fast for any significant period of time and probably wouldn't miss a lick. Of course, truth be told, we would probably just come right back into reality and everyday life, and we would just pick up where we left off, and we would continue to just consume. But you know what I'm saying, I hope. I feel there are times that I feel like I just need some, I need, I've jammed so much stuff in my head, I just need some space. I feel like I'm running out of headroom. Does that make sense? And I particularly feel like I'm running out of headroom when it comes to the stuff that's probably pretty important. I mean, have I so filled my head with crap that I can't get good information back into my head or into it to begin with? Do you ever feel that way? Man, I do. But now apply that same kind of, because here's where I'm going with this. Apply that same kind of a notion to just how you feel and your emotions. Here's one you can surely relate to, because hasn't this happened to us all? You're feeling pretty good. Everything's going along just perfectly okay. but an email arrives. Or you get a phone call. Now, back in the day, you used to, okay, you got a letter in the mail. That doesn't happen so much anymore. And it changes everything. I mean, all of a sudden, you're, I'm reminded of a phrase that you see in the Bible sometimes, you know, someone's countenance fell, their countenance, that is the expression on their, I mean, they're just, their whole demeanor just changed in one fell swoop. Well, if you're a human, it's happened to you. We go in a flash, and I mean, man, it's just, it is lightning quick how this can happen to us, how it can, how our complete mood can just shift and change, and we can go from just being, we're pretty, feeling pretty good. Maybe we're even, dare I say it, we're on top of the world, and bam, all of a sudden, we get some email, we get some text message, we get some communication that changes everything. And I'm not talking about devastating news. Now, that's understandable. I mean, it's a horrible thing for anybody to have to endure the police knocking on your door in the middle of the night with bad news. Someone in your family has been injured. Well, or worse yet, yeah. They've passed. I'm not talking about that kind of, that's understandable, but I'm talking about those things that after the initial whatever, after the initial stun wears off, we stop and we take an assessment of, you know, I was feeling pretty good until I got that. Now, why have I let this affect me this way? Have you ever asked yourself that? Man, I've asked myself that a lot. An email can come across, and it frankly, on when you sit down and you read it in a rational state, you know, like, well, okay, it's, I mean, how bad is that? Well, it's not that bad, but boy, did it change my mood. We let these things happen to us, you know. I mean, sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we allow the smallest of little stimulus to alter our mood, to alter our feelings, to alter our emotions. And so much of our success, I believe, so much of our success is tethered to how we think about things, how we feel about things, because those are necessarily the things that drive how we do things. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. If you don't know about the law of attraction, I'm not going to go into it here, but just Google it, and you can read it for yourself. I don't believe in it. There. I mean, okay, Randy, can you be more subtle? I don't. I do not believe in the law of attraction. Sorry. I happen to know some good people who, just for whatever reason, they have endured, it seems, they have endured more than their fair share of hardship. I'm not talking foolish choices. I'm not talking morons. I'm not talking people that have just made stupid life decisions. I'm talking about people that just for whatever reason, it's just like for extended periods of time, there's just a dark cloud following them wherever they go, raining on their parade. It happens. It happens. Yes, bad things do happen to good people. And yes, sometimes good things happen to bad people. In fact, quite often good things happen to bad people. Especially when we're talking about money and income and all of that. Now, let's not talk about how they got it. Let's not talk about the honesty required. We're just judging it from a very shallow perspective. So the law of attraction would have us believe that we can actually kind of magnetize ourselves, and we can attract the very thing that we want. We can attract good luck. We can attract any variety of things. We can attract possessions. We think about them long enough. We dwell on them, and naturally we take some action, but our mind is going to compel us to take the action required to achieve the thing. And there are people that will just, they would argue you down that it absolutely positively is truth because it's worked for them. And you're hard pressed to argue against that. In fact, I wouldn't tell you, I don't waste my time. I don't argue against it. I just, matter of factly, I don't believe in it. Sorry. Having said that, here's what I do believe in. One of the many things that I believe in. I believe in a lot of things, but one of the things that I do believe in is I do believe that there's an awful lot that starts in our head, and there's certainly there's plenty of evidence for that. None of the least of which, by the way, is Scripture. No, I'm not going to start quoting a bunch of Scripture to you. So if you're a non-religious person, just bear with me. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, you've heard that. You've heard that reworded any number of ways. And you've heard that, well, you've heard that ascribed to all kinds of people. But it is true. I mean, it absolutely is true. There is so much, well, there's just so much that begins with how we think, because the way we think affects so many things. I was having a conversation with a buddy the other day, and we were talking about, well, we were just talking about foolishness is what we were talking about. We were talking about people that are just, you know, behaving foolishly. And not just young people, but all people. And he made a comment that so much of it just comes in his belief, and I think he's right. I happen to agree with him that so much of it just comes from people just having the wrong approach. They approach life, and they approach whatever they approach every decision with just seeming sheer stupidity. And that verse over in Proverbs, which is Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, we're kind of wondering out loud, well, it's pretty clear what they're thinking. Or maybe better said, it's pretty clear that they're not thinking. They're not thinking of the consequence. They're not thinking of the possible risk. They're not thinking of the downside. They're just putting one foot in front of the other blindly day after day, and perhaps hoping for the best. I don't know who said it first, but it's absolutely positively true. Hope is not a strategy. Well, it can be, but it's a poor strategy. The fact is, I believe that we need headroom. I believe that we need headroom when it comes to our emotions. I believe we need some headroom when it comes to our feelings. I believe we need to... There's so much focus these days on techniques and on various strategies and tools and all this stuff, and that's all fine and well. I'd be the last guy on the planet to say, no, don't even pay any attention to those. No, those are critically important. Come on, who's kidding who? They are critically important. However, I believe it's a little bit, you know, that cart before the horse kind of a routine. I believe when we focus on those things in lieu of how we feel and how we approach things, how we think about things and our emotions, because our emotions, come on, I've already given you a number of illustrations in my life, and I can hear a collective, yeah, me too, among some of you. You feel that too. Your countenance changes just in a flash with just some fairly minor new input. Well, welcome to the human race. And now what happens to the rest of your day? I will freely tell you that I've gotten up feeling pretty good about something, and an hour, maybe 2 hours into whatever I'm doing that day, just feeling pretty good, and all of a sudden I get an email and done. I mean, just done. The rest of the done. And I like to think of myself as being kind of mentally tough, but it happens, right? It happens to us all. And I rather believe that if we just focus on the strategies and whatever it may be, if we just focus on those things, if we focus on the actions and we don't focus on the motives and the thoughts and the intent and the emotions, the feelings behind it, I think it's a lot of cart before the horse. I really do. Some of the deepest conversations that I have ever had with people in trying to help people push through some problem, in many cases, some specific business problem. So often they come back to, well, how do you feel about that? And I can't tell you how many times I ask this question. And what are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Here's the problem. Here's the challenge, Randy, and here's what's going on. And I'm like, okay. And how are you feeling? What are you thinking about? Can anybody deny the power of it? Can anybody deny that it makes a difference? Can anybody deny that successful people, in spite of whatever avenue they take, oil, real estate, Wall Street, computer software, computer hardware, doesn't matter. Can any of us argue that the people who excel in these and virtually any other endeavor, can we argue that feelings and emotions and the mental capacity of people to harness those things, to manage those things, and maybe perhaps, if I dare use the word, manipulate those things in their own life for their own good, can we argue that that doesn't have some critical role to play in achievement? I mean, can we argue, well, perhaps we can, but I mean, come on, can we really? Can we really duke it out over the notion that the way we feel about our own ability to do something? I mean, this whole notion of self-confidence. Can we argue that there's nothing to that? Now, I'm not talking about the cocky, deluded pro athlete or anybody else. You know, the person that just, they think they are God's gift and they just ooze that. Well, here's the problem. One problem with that is that's what we see. How do we know what's really going on behind their eyes? How do we know that what we're seeing isn't just bravado? That deep down, these people may be saying to themselves, there is no way I belong here. I mean, eventually they're going to find out I don't know what I'm doing and I'm not really terribly good at it. How do we know that's not what they're really thinking? Well, we may not. We may not know. And don't you rather suspect that so many people that just put on this front, that put on this false bravado, well, I'm assuming sometimes it's false. It can't always be real, can it? You look at Muhammad Ali. You look at him as Cassius Clay. He later morphed to become Muhammad Ali. And you look at this person who he had a gift. I mean, come on. The man had a gift. The gift of smack talking, the gift of trash talking, the gift of being snarky and funny with it. I mean, man, the planet had not seen this now. Today's athletes who think they do some trash talking, they have Muhammad Ali they owe him. They owe him big. Because he was the king. He's the guy that got it all started. He's the guy that had us laughing. But man, his tongue was constantly, constantly wagging. But he backed it up. Sadly, given his health situation, he's not able to be articulate. But man, I'd love to know. I'd love to know if a young Cassius Clay, I mean, at some point he embraced some feelings, and at some point he embraced some emotion, and at some point he embraced some self-belief that I can do this. I can do this. Now, I'm not saying that you can be on the level with him, and I'm not saying you even should, but so frequently as I try to help people, I encounter people that are perfectly willing to drone on, if I would let them, perfectly willing to drone on and on about all the problems that they've got, all the reasons why they're having struggles. And in most every case, what it boils down to is a big, fat pity party. And I've said before, I'm the wrong guy. I mean, yeah, I'll talk a guy off the ledge, you bet. I'll try to talk a woman off the ledge when they're suffering some self-doubt. But so many people just don't have enough room left in their head for a positive outlook. For the prospect, well, I'll give you a couple of, I'm going to have to generalize these without being terribly specific. And, you know, I don't want people knowing I'm talking about them. So a business guy has a problem. He has a challenge and he views it. It's serious. And he's received an email from a vendor partner, and this is a pretty serious thing. And he asks permission. Can I share? I'd like to send you this email. I'd like to get your take on this. And so he forwards me an email, and it's a rather lengthy email. And now he's already given me his take on it. And his take on it is, this is bad news. This is bad news. These, you know, they hate what I'm doing. It's just, you know, this is going to be the end of a relationship that I desperately need, on and on and on it goes. Well, okay. So we hang up, forward me the email. I open up the email. I read it. And now keep in mind, I already know his take on it, but I read it and I just read it for what it is. I don't know the guy who wrote it. I don't have maybe the insight that the client does. I don't have any of that, but I read the email. I have a completely different view of it. I'm looking at it and, you know, I'm reading it and I'm trying to feel the way the client feels. Right? I'm trying to be empathetic, but I can't. So I read it over and I read it over again. I print the thing out, put it in front of me, and I'm reading it. Well, after reading it a good half a dozen times, I still feel the same way as I felt when I first read it. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all the way the client sees it. So we get back on the phone. And I'm like, dude, I mean, is it possible? Is it just possible that you're misreading this? Keep in mind, when we have text, it's really hard. It's really hard sometimes to read tone, you know, and sometimes we read things into text that's really not there. We read a meaning that really was never conveyed, certainly never intended. So I'm walking him through this, and is that possible? Yeah, but no. And he's got all kinds of reasons. And so, let's talk about the last time you had a conversation with this person. Went well. Well, what about the emails before this one? Perfectly fine. Perfect. Okay, so you're telling me that just out of the blue, you got blindsided by this, and he viewed it as something being super critical of his company and their partnering with this particular guy in his company. And I said, I'm sorry, but I just don't, and I'm not trying to now. I'm not just trying to look through rose-colored glasses because I'm not that guy, but I don't see it the way you see it. Is it possible, I asked, is it just possible that this hits your inbox at the wrong time, that, you know, you're reading things, because you're reading things in here that I'm not seeing. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. Well, we talked for a long time, and he was utterly convinced that he was right and I was wrong. But by the time we hung up, he at least had come around to the possibility that I could be right. He didn't think I was right, but it was possible. He thought it was possible. And I said, look, I'm just viewing the evidence. You're telling me that your previous conversations have all been positive. I mean, your last conversations prior to this email, they've all been, you've had no inkling of an idea there. And now it's just the sky's falling. I'm just posing a question out here. We hung up and he was persuaded that I could be, not that I was, but that I could be onto something. Well, 2 or 3 days pass and I get another phone call. He's now had a phone conversation with the person who wrote the email. Sheepishly, I read it all wrong. What? Yeah, you bet. Man, I'll rub a guy's nose in it all day long. You kidding me? Especially when I'm right. What did he say? Well, I told him I was really nervous and he was like, no, dude, you completely misread it. And he said, so I'm just calling to tell you, you were right. I said, well, how many days did you, because I told him, I said, you know, if I were you, what I'd do is I'd pick up the phone, talk to the guy. You know this guy. He'll take your phone call. I mean, hear what the guy's got to say and hear how he says it, because, you know, some people aren't as adept with text as other people. Well, he didn't do it that day. He didn't do it the next day, but he did it on the morning of the third day. And I said, so you've pretty much burned, you've now pretty much burned 72 hours fretting over something that you shouldn't have fretted about to begin with. Yeah. Man, how stupid is that? And I said, listen, we all do it. We all do it. Now, here's the rub, and let me end it on this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to remedy that in your life? How can we control these emotions? Well, that's a subject for another show, don't you think? I've already taken more than half an hour of your life. Just know this, it's important. What you think and how you think about it and how you feel. Now, I know there's a lot of you rough and tumble guys, and I don't talk about my feelings. Well, maybe you should. Maybe you should. And if you're not having the success you want to have, you absolutely positively should. My name, Randy Cantrell. I'm the voice of reason, you know. We are all about teaching, inspiring, and encouraging higher human performance, and that would be you. You would be the human part of that. So am I. BulaNetwork.com is the website. Till next time, see ya.